Israel has responded swiftly to the suicide bombing in Jerusalem last night that killed at least 20 people, injured more than 100. Israelis broke off contact with Palestinian leaders and closed down the Israeli-occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip. The United States has called on the Palestinians to dismantle militant groups, including the two that issued rival claims of responsibility for yesterday's attack. Our coverage begins this morning with NPR's Julie McCarthy in Jerusalem.
The magnitude of the bombing that resounded through Jerusalem set it apart, but there was still a grisly familiarity to it. Large white bags are stacked neatly in rows. It takes a moment to realize they contain the remains of those killed. Shouting police cordon off the area. Curious onlookers strain to see the bus, whose roof has been peeled away in the blast. This ultra-Orthodox neighborhood is a block from the International Green Line that demarcates predominantly Jewish West Jerusalem from traditionally Arab East Jerusalem. Authorities would not speculate on how or where the bomber boarded bus number two, a route religious Jews know well, running from the old city and stopping at the Western Wailing Wall. This shaken Judaic studies student said the bombing only deepened his resolve to keep studying and living in Jerusalem.
There's really no solution, because it's either us or them. So if we wanted to be us, we left to live here. I mean, the mothers and daughters that were being brought on the stretchers, they had nothing to do with it. And the Hamas are people who were responsible for this. You see what happens.
As a small group chants death to Arabs, authorities sift through the wreckage of the explosion that was one of the deadliest in 3 years of conflict. Ambulance crews ferry casualties to hospitals. 19-year-old Marav Endri was admitted for trauma. She had just left a lesson with her rabbi when she stepped into the street and felt the blast of the suicide bomber's ball-bearing loaded explosive tearing through bus number two.
It's difficult, but I saw a woman without her head in place, another woman without her leg, and babies. I saw small babies, and it was all blood. It was really frightening and scary. I'd never in my life thought I would see such sights.
On another hospital bed, Avrim Zariv, his sooty face and hands contrasting with the white sheets, says he was blown off his bicycle as he rode beside the bus. The 22-year-old yeshiva student says he helped rescue the wounded. I picked up a child. He was injured and covered with blood. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he's still alive. People were black with smoke, he said, and there was the smell of burnt flesh in the air. Of the 32 injured brought here to Hadassah Mount Scopus Hospital, 12 were children. An 18-month-old baby succumbed to his head wounds. The lightly wounded put their good fortune down to the miraculous. Devora Aizan had been sitting in the forward section of the bus and asked the driver to open the door to move to the rear section to be next to her best friend. The blue-eyed 20-year-old says the driver refused and ended up saving her life.
And this was a miracle for me because he had opened it before, and I feel that I got my life back as a gift.
Members of both Hamas and Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for the bombing that has torn a hole in the U.S.-backed roadmap for peace. Israeli officials were preparing a handback of two towns in the occupied West Bank to Palestinian control. But with new dead to bury, Israel has severed all talks and put a clamp back on the Palestinian territories. The U.S. administration is pressuring Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas to rein in militant groups. Abbas had been negotiating with Islamic Jihad leaders when the explosion struck, and he has now halted all dialogue with them and Hamas. A security official said they will be held responsible for harming the interests of the Palestinian people. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Jerusalem.